doesn't exist. And they immediately take measures that in some cases have resulted in very serious issues in nutrition, medicine, and the most essential elements in some countries. That is to say, who is ultimately punished is the people who receive the sanctions.
Los gobiernos que han sido sancionados.
The governments that have been constantly sanctioned have become stronger in relation to their population.
Y han cambiado el modelo de desarrollo.
And have changed the development model in such a way that as the great Chinese leader and founder of the People's Republic of China, Mao Zedong, said, the reactionaries lift the rock in their hands to such an extent that when they hold it up, it falls off on their own feet, and the sanctions become something negative for those who have imposed them.
Y se convierten las sanciones en algo negativo para quienes la han llevado adelante. Así tenemos, por ejemplo, que...
Thus, for example, among 17 sanctioned countries with the highest number of sanctioned companies, individuals, and private entities,
particulares,
some have been strengthened to such a level, as is the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, which has had sanctions since 1950. The Republic of Cuba, which has had sanctions since 1960, and almost total since 1962, and the Islamic Republic of Iran since 1979.
Bueno, también tenemos a Venezuela.
Well, we also have Venezuela, where we have Venezuela today that is satisfying almost 90% of its food consumption through internal production, something that has never been in history.
Los países sancionados.
The sanctioned countries, Nicaragua and Russia, strengthen their internal construction, their internal market.
Tu mercado interno.
Their internal industry in such a way that they advance scientifically and militarily, deepening their independence and sovereignty, which has been a setback for imperialism. It is true that a cost that had to be paid.
Es verdad que se ha tenido que pagar un costo. Y lo han hecho pagar a los.
And that affects the people, all the inhabitants of the country that is sanctioned. It is the madness of imperialism, that fanatic thing of subduing others through hunger.
Someter al otro por el hambre. Esto hacen los gringos.
This is what the gringos and North Americans do. This is what the Americans do. But it goes against them. Today, in the Gaza Strip, Gazans are the most sanctioned on the planet. There, not even medicines, water, or anything else is allowed to enter. Zionism and its godfather, North American imperialism, are the ones leading it. The people are wise. They persevere on the path of independence and sovereignty. The sanctions have proven to be a fiasco at the end of the day. This is Black and White. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Soy Eduardo Artes. Hoy, para hablar desde sanciones y bloqueos.
Today, we have a guest from Italy to talk about sanctions and blockade by imperialist powers against nations, governments, and countries.
Él es Fabrizio Cassari.
Fabrizio Cassari, Italian journalist and international analyst, expert in analyzing economic sanctions and punitive measures applied by capitalist powers against nations.
Capitalista a los pueblos.
Fabrizio Cassari, welcome to Black and White.
A Negro y Blanco por Hispan TV.
Thank you for your invitation. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Fabrizio, desde ubiquémonos en nuestra época desde el punto de vista contemporáneo.
At the current historical stage, what are the goals, consequences, and manifestations of these policies and sanctions by the imperialist powers?
De sanciones y bloqueos por parte de las potencias imperialistas.
La política de bloqueo y de sanciones es parte.
The policy of blockade and sanctions is called the fourth and fifth generation war, depending on who brings it up. The modern war, which the unipolar world starts, is to simply prevent the world from becoming multipolar. In order to prevent the loss of its hegemonic role as a group, the West is increasingly using all the tools of the fifth generation war, that is, diplomacy, politics, and above all, the media and sanctions, which are the tools of this war. Sanctions today affect 17 countries with specific and selective measures and 6 countries with general measures. We must note that the type of these actions can be general or targeted at individuals. Therefore, a total of 23 countries have been targeted by unilateral, illegitimate, and illegal sanctions. We are talking about 72% of the world's population and more than 30% of the entire world's GDP. I said this to understand the size and the scope of this action. Sanctions, on the other hand, result from a clear but unfair desire to win a competition, competing with products and markets. When you ban the export of a country's products and when you have the same product, you will be the only option for purchase. Furthermore, when you prevent a country from using the international transaction withdrawal system, things get more complicated. The effect of this action is not only on your target country, but also on all countries that want to do business with it. This gets even more complicated when you block a country from accessing SWIFT transactions and also block it from using the dollar currency. When a country is sanctioned, the only option left is to buy Western goods. With these conditions, the West keeps its economy in a state of addiction and says that it is the best and biggest economy. But no, the reason is sanctions. As I told you, sanctions are not a substitute for war. Many times you are told that sanctions are a substitute for war. This is a lie. Sanctions are the art of war. This should be clarified. And in the following, we will see their dire goals.
Entonces esto habría que quedarlo claro, claro. Y vamos a ver después cuáles son sus objetivos finales, ¿no?
Así es. Las sanciones son parte de la guerra. Ahora bien, ¿cómo los pueblos?
Yes, that's right. Sanctions are part of the war. Now, according to the current situation that we are witnessing, the situation has changed. As we know, we see American countries that have stood up for their rights, and how the Democratic People's Republic of Korea has strengthened in science and the military sector, etc. And Venezuela has made an incredible progress in food production. And Iran has solved a series of issues in the food security sector and has made progress in the scientific and military fields. And also in the case of Russia, it seems that the sanctions have had the opposite effect.
La propia Rusia, ¿no es cierto? Pareciera ser que el efecto fue al revés, ¿no? Es decir, hoy día.
Is there a case today that sanctions have been able to achieve the goal of overthrowing a government and changing the direction of a country?
A un gobierno a cambiar la orientación de ese estado?
Jamás, ni uno. Ni uno.
Never, not a single one. There is no country in the world that has been overthrown due to Western sanctions. When I say Western sanctions, it is actually an implicit meaning that means U.S. sanctions. And then the rest of the West also follows these sanctions, but they're not the ones who impose the sanctions. I mean specifically the European Union. EU sanctions are ridiculous. For example, it's funny when Latin American countries like Nicaragua is sanctioned because Europe's trade relations with Nicaragua are very small. What does Nicaragua lose when sanctioned? What we see is that the ultimate goal of sanctions is to topple governments. Who are these sanctions against? Against all governments that do not submit their political sovereignty, resources, and political identity to the West, or in fact, America. Countries that believe that they have the right to choose their own government, as well as the right to choose the government's program, goals, and international stance, are considered enemies. How do they become enemies? A campaign is started which almost always says that those countries are violating human rights.
Se comienza la campaña diciendo que esos países casi siempre violan los derechos humanos.
Ahí vamos a quedar
We will take a break for a few moments and then continue the second part with Fabrizio Casari.
Estamos acá con Fabrizio Casari.
Back here we are with Fabrizio Casari. The discussion is about embargo and blockade. You were giving reasons for your own explanations. Go ahead, Fabrizio, please.
Adelante, por favor, Fabrizio.
Y lo que decía es que no haya habido ni un gobierno en el mundo.
Yes, I was saying that there is not a single government in the world that has been overthrown due to the sanctions of the United States and the West. And there is no government that will fall because of this in the future. This is a zero-sum game, and when despite the efforts of America and the West, when the desired result is not achieved, it means America's defeat. Sanctions are illegitimate because they have not been declared by any international court or the United Nations, which are the only organizations that have the authority to impose sanctions. These sanctions are illegal because they're not announced by the courts. They are announced by the offices of a ministry, and they are part of the political actions. These sanctions are unfair because the people being sanctioned have nothing to do with the government that may or may not fall. But the reality is that they hit the governments that do not surrender their political sovereignty and resources to America. Governments that do not want to determine their own political line and place in international confrontations in exchange for not being sanctioned. These countries are immediately considered by the U.S. as enemy countries, and then the U.S. says that these countries violate human rights or claim that these countries are declared an extraordinary threat to the security of the U.S. Why do they say this, despite the fact that it is a country 30,000 kilometers away? They say this, and they make management statements about it so that they later commit the most theft of resources based on these words. They must have a political justification for their robberies and looting, otherwise the law of America itself will not allow them to do so. The point is that 72% of the world's population is sanctioned by the other 25%. Can a system like this continue to work? Obviously not. Can almost 30% of the GDP be sanctioned? Because the one who used to have 60% of the production and now this figure doesn't even reach 40% of the world's gross domestic product makes such a decision. These are questions that all lawyers and people with knowledge in the world have. But in addition to some of this conversation, there's also the boomerang effect of sanctions. What will happen? When some countries are sanctioned, the United States and Europe cannot officially sell those products, and this causes their products to be stockpiled. These products expire. For one, because I remind you again, we are talking about 72% of the world's population. So when you know that you can't do business with 72% of the world's population, you can't sell anything to them. You can't buy anything from them. Your production will only be for 28% of the world's population. This amount is very, very low. So your economy will have very, very little growth and possibly negative growth. So this is what is officially on paper, while the U.S. has historically shown that it sanctions with one hand and negotiates with the other. One example is that they announced that they want to impose the biggest and toughest sanctions in history against Russia. Now, on the other hand, as a result of this action, the growth of Russia's GDP is higher than that of the European Union, which said it wanted to finish Russia's work. On the other hand, the oil and gas that reaches Europe, which they said can no longer come from Russia, still comes from Russia. It just happens that it goes through other countries, and because of that, they charge you more. So you have the same oil as before, just a little less volume, and you're paying a lot more money for it than before. And you're no longer dependent on one country, but three or four. And of course, the gas that you are going to get from the U.S., the U.S. liquefied natural gas, the amount is very small and not enough for Europe at all. And the price is much more expensive than what Russia was giving you. So what a smart person at the center of the unipolar imperial decision-making apparatus would adopt such a stupid strategy.
Quarto decisional dell'imperio unipolar decide semejante estrategia idiota.
Una estrategia idiota, como dices tú, Fabricio. De cualquier manera,
a stupid strategy, as you said, Fabrizio. Fortunately, countries have been able to industrialize and ensure their own food security and develop in this direction. This is one of the consequences of sanctions. This is a very complicated matter. On the other hand, there is a very interesting phenomenon, which is the coordination, unity and cooperation between the embargoed countries, which is a kind of resistance and building a different environment.
Que también es una forma de resistencia y de construir un espacio distinto. Mira.
Look, the nations of the sanctioned countries use their intelligence to make fun of many, or in fact, all sanctions. I remember when I was in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, they definitely made fun of some of the sanctions. As I remember that in the period of socialist Albania, in the period between 1976 and 1986, there were large companies producing textile products, and all of their products ended up in the market with the label Made in Italy.
Telares, mucho. Y todos, al final, salían al mercado y estaban en el mercado con la etiqueta Made in Italia.
This means that nations have the ability to overcome sanctions and blockades in any way. What experience do you have of dealing with and passing behind sanctions?
Para superarlos. ¿Qué experiencia tú ves aquí en el desarrollo desde los pueblos para enfrentar y superar estas sanciones?
La cuestión es incrementar.
The issue is a significant increase in development of South-South relations. South-South relations should take the place of North. Today it is much easier to exchange products with any other country than it was 20 years ago. Every country can achieve a level of production of products and services. The policy of imperialism is stupid because they don't take into account that in the past, until about 50 to 20 years ago, resources were exchanged with technology and its improvements. Today, the owners of resources no longer need new technologies. Because firstly, some countries have very, very advanced technology. And secondly, if the technology doesn't reach them, there are countries that are willing to give the technology, for example, China, Russia, and Brazil itself. So what is the threat where the logic of exchange prevails? When you pay the price of my product at the international market, and if you want, you cannot do the exchange, the idea of you sanctioning me is stupid. You see, they sanctioned the Russian oil and gas pipeline to Europe and wanted to prevent Russian gas from reaching Europe. But what happened was that gas flows from Turkey and Azerbaijan and then returns here. What did Russia do? It used to have a strong trading partner, the European Union, and specifically Germany and two lines that transported oil and gas quickly and directly. For political reasons, he sold gas at a very low price. Today, it sells this gas at a relatively higher price to India and China and to other countries such as Pakistan, countries that did not buy it before. Russia started diversifying its customers and therefore has many more customers than before and is much less dependent on one customer only.
Al diversificar la cartera, a tener mucho más gente que te compra, tener mucha menos dependencia de cualquiera de ellos.
La realidad actual donde se comienza.
Today's reality is that countries are starting to do business with their own national currencies. India works with rupees, Russia with rubles, China with yuan, etc. Today, therefore, the dollar is not very decisive. How does this approach affect the possibility of circumventing or neutralizing sanctions?
En la posibilidad de sortear o burlar las sanciones.
Mira, hermano, en una forma muy fácil, es un desastre para Estados Unidos.
Look, brother, this is very easy. It's a disaster for America, because thanks to the dollar as the only player in international exchange, America was given the ability and power in international trade to determine who sells what and who buys what and the terms of payment, and this way it earns billions of dollars per day per transaction. This situation is not going to continue now. The dollar will no longer be the only medium of exchange. According to the predictions made in a 10-year period, the dollar will probably not be the first currency. Why? Because as always, there's a proverb that says, idiots, in addition to being stupid, also become blind. When the US tried to sanction Russia, it made it impossible for Russia to access the dollar market and the Russian account was blocked, like what they did with Venezuela in the past. Most of the countries in the international level have resources abroad for emergencies that can happen. Now, most all strategic reserves have been in dollars. Now, there are many countries that say, if I ever get into a conflict with America for any reason, America will stop me and take all my reserves from me. No, it is better not to do this. And they are de-dollarizing their reserves. There are many countries that willingly de-dollarize their resources gradually without creating a monetary shock. And many more countries are planning to do this. Having less dollars means having less demand for dollars. Less demand for dollars means less production of dollars. Less production of dollars means that the U.S. debt cannot be paid.
Por la deuda de los Estados Unidos, la cara de impagable.
Gracias, Fabrizio. Desgraciadamente.
Thank you, Fabrizio. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of the program. Thank you very much for your participation. This is Black and White.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asle zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned. How can we bless our New Year celebrations during Nowruz? Is it possible through eating sweets, visiting their relatives, or wearing new clothes? What are the best criteria for blessing our lives? One of the good ways to bless our lives is to help the needy among our friends and relatives. One another good way is to start a new year by helping our brothers and sisters in faith. This is one way to bless our lives.
بیایم
جهازی دختر فلانی رو حلش کنیم. فلانی سه تا پسر داره نمیتونه اینا رو دماد کنه.
One another way to bless our lives at the beginning of the new year during springtime is to buy dowries for the newlywed girls. Another way is to give money to the young boys to help them financially who want to get married. In this way, we can make our new year Mubarak or blessed. Making a heart happy is one of the best ways to bless our life with blessings of Allah. New Year celebration is not necessarily being happy, but sharing happiness with others. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qarati. To find out more about this program, please log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Soul of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
French police have risked the lives of migrants trying to cross the English Channel to the United Kingdom in small boats by using dangerous tactics, including puncturing boats and threatening migrants with pepper spray. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. French police, funded by the UK government, have endangered the lives of vulnerable migrants by intercepting small boats in the English Channel, using tactics that search and rescue experts say could cause a mass casualty event. Shocking new evidence obtained by The Guardian, Lighthouse reports, Le Monde and Der Spiegel reveals for the first time that the French maritime police have tried physically to force small boats to turn around, manoeuvres known as pullbacks, in an attempt to prevent them reaching British shores. Newly obtained video footage, leaked documents and witness testimonies show that the French authorities have used aggressive tactics, including circling a migrant boat, causing waves to flood the dinghy, ramming into a small boat whilst threatening passengers with a large tank of pepper spray, and puncturing boats when they are already at sea, forcing migrants to swim back to shore. The French authorities have previously refused Britain's request for them to carry out interceptions at sea, stating that they contravened international maritime law. But evidence indicates there has been an escalation in the use of these tactics since last summer. Britain's Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has pledged to stop the boats crossing the channel and has promised hundreds of millions of pounds to France to pay for more surveillance and border guards to prevent people making the journey. Recently, the government's Safety of Rwanda Asylum and Immigration Bill suffered several defeats in the House of Lords, delaying the Prime Minister's plan to see flights for Kigali take off until after Easter. Ministers claim that the bill will act as a deterrent to all those crossing the channel from northern France to Britain. In the first video obtained and verified for this investigation, a police boat in Dunkirk harbour circles close to a dinghy holding about 25 people, creating a wake that floods the boat. The police vessel is seen advancing towards the dinghy at speed before turning sharply to create waves, circling and coming back again. Migrants are seen wearing foam-packed life jackets and attempting to bail water out using their shoes. Sources have confirmed that the police patrol vessel used to carry out the manoeuvres seen in the video was brought by the French authorities with funding provided by the British government under the Sandhurst Treaty, a bilateral border security deal signed at the Royal Military Academy in 2018. One search and rescue expert who was shown the video footage said that it is a textbook pushback, exactly the same as we have seen in Greece, adding that one manoeuvre alone could cause a mass casualty event. The water is deep enough to drown in. I've seen this in the central Mediterranean many times, but this is the first time that I've seen anything like this happening in the English Channel. Previous evidence has shown how the Greek Coast Guard has forced boats carrying migrants back into the Turkish waters in the Aegean Sea, in some cases by manoeuvring around them at high speed to create waves. Two senior British Border Force sources confirmed that the tactic could lead to multiple deaths and injuries. One operational Border Force official said, "If the blades of the French boat make contact with the vessel, it will slash right through the vessel," adding, "The other thing is a collision. The weight and the force of that vessel could ride straight over the top of the rib. It would knock the passengers out, knock them unconscious and into the water. It could potentially lead to a large number of deaths. I can't believe any mariner could condone that." Maritime experts added that they would be very surprised if Border Force and HM Coast Guard were not aware of these tactics being used, with one adding, 100%, someone high up will definitely be aware of this. In a second video clip, members of the French gendarmerie drive along a dinghy in a speedboat about 12 miles from the French coast, threatening to use a large tank of pepper spray against the boat carrying migrants. They then proceed to ram their vessel into the dinghy. A Border Force official said, "They don't even know who's on board, whether there's someone asthmatic that they're using pepper spray against, or pregnant women," adding, "That could really harm people." In evidence of a third attempted pullback, a complaint filed by a member of the French Customs Coast Guard to the public prosecutor in Boulogne-sur-Mer charged that on 11th of August 2023, police officers ordered a National Society of Sea Rescue's crew to puncture a small boat that had already set sail. In an email seen by this investigation, the complainant, Remy van der Plaak, states that the National Society of Sea Rescue's crew obviously refused to do this, adding that the risk of drowning if they had done so was obvious and imminent. Testimony from several sources who boarded small boats bound for Britain support the claims that French police have used such tactics. One man, who was from India, said, "There were four of them, French gendarmes, on the boat. They went around the boat in a circle and then they stabbed the boat and left. We had to swim for about 10 minutes. We nearly died." On 9th of February 2024, the man lodged a complaint with the French Human Rights Ombudsman. The incident is currently under investigation. The website Politico has also covered the same story and tells us more. Sources within France's Interior Ministry have described the British government's enormous pressure on a daily basis for the French Maritime Police to prevent small boat departures, with one French civil servant describing the pressure as intense and non-stop. Another senior civil servant, who was in post until the end of 2020, added, "As far as the British were concerned, the boats had to be caught at sea. They sometimes insisted on it." In September of last year, the then British Immigration Minister, Robert Jenrick, said in the House of Commons that "there is clearly more that we need the French to do for us," pointing to a recent trip to Belgium, where he said the authorities had been willing to intercept in the water small boats leaving its shores. Robert Jenrick added, "That has proven decisive. Small boats from Belgian waters are now extremely rare, so that is an approach that we encourage the French to follow." In August of 2021, during a visit to the Greek island of Samos, then Home Secretary Priti Patel went out on patrol with the Greek Coast Guard, which is known for its use of aggressive pushbacks in the Aegean Sea. A Home Office source with knowledge of the trip said she came back invigorated, adding, "They were very aggressive, had a good success rate of detection, and were swift in how they processed them, the asylum seekers." She liked their posturing of protecting borders and working with the military, though there was recognition that a lot of this wouldn't be lawful in Britain. Britain has allocated more than £700 million to France to prevent irregular migration since 2014. At a summit in March of 2023, Prime Minister Sunak announced that Britain would give France £500 million over 3 years to fund additional border guards and a new detection facility, as well as video surveillance cameras, drones and night vision binoculars, among other equipment.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad. Hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. My pleasure.
Well, we are talking about, some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and this blessed month of Ramadan, according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Let me start our episodes with this interesting question, and it might be actually something that a lot of people are suffering from. I mean, diabetics. And these people need to take insulin injections every now and then, like once or twice even a day. Well, also their meals should not be delayed and taken at long intervals. Otherwise, they might go into a coma or have trouble. Well, that is why physicians advise them to have 4 meals a day or even more. Well, would you please give your opinion concerning their fasting?
If they know that abstaining from eating and drinking from dawn to sunset is harmful to their health, or they fear that it might harm them, then it is actually not obligatory for them to fast. In fact, it is not even permissible for them to fast in the when there one has genuine fear, and there is reasonable ground for not fasting, because obviously there are many diabetic patients, and they have to drink water every now and then. If they do not, then maybe their sugar will jump to a degree which might even cause consequences, might have consequences for them. Mm. So if there is such genuine fear, it is actually not permissible for them to fast.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, during the month of Ramadan, a duty bound decides to break his fast, but changes his mind before doing so, all right? Is his fast valid because he's still fasting? He didn't break it, although he intended to do so, right? But
yes,
before changing his mind, he continued to fasting. So is his fast valid? What about the fast other than the month of Ramadan? Like, for example, recommended fasting. Or something like a qadha of the missed fast.
You're right.
In the months other than Ramadan.
Well, we do know that intention, or what we call niyat, is a basic element of the religious practices. No religious act is, in fact, valid without genuine intention to comply with God's order and to seek closeness to Him. And the same is the case with the fasting of the month of Ramadan. During the month of Ramadan, if a person ceases to intend to fast, for example, he does not have the intention to continue his fasting, then it invalidates his fast. And then trying to make the intention again and to continue fasting is of no avail to him, because he broke his fast. Even he has not eaten or drunk anything, but when you cease to fast and you have the intention not to fast, and then after a while, okay, you regret your decision and you try to intend again to fast, that will be of no use to you.
Mm-hmm.
So one should avoid doing things which invalidate fast, like, for example, having the niyyah is one of the pillars of the fast of Ramadan. And if, for example, a person doubts whether he has made such a decision or not, he can continue his fast, and his fasting will be definitely valid.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Shabit. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back to continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Ya Allah, thank you for another chance standing at my door. Ya Allah, you've given me hope. Deliver this gift right to my home. Marhab, marhab, ya Ramadan. Ahi qulubana bil Qur'an.
الصيام. back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and the month of Ramadan. Well, Sheikh Javed, we know, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if somebody's offering his prayer, usually bleeding invalidates his prayer, so he has to stop saying the
prayer. Do you mean prayer, right? Or fasting?
No, I mean prayer.
Okay.
Good. But what about bleeding while you're fasting?
That is good. Well, you know that blood is impure. It's not saliva, it is blood. Okay, maybe your saliva is mixed with blood. So blood is something essentially impure, whether it comes from you or from any other animal or something. Mm-hmm. So bleeding in the mouth does not make your fast void unless you actually swallow it. And of course, a fasting person must make every effort to prevent the blood from reaching his throat. And if it accidentally goes into his throat, there's not his fast is not void. But if he knows and knowingly he swallows the saliva which is mixed with blood, then his fast becomes void. Even if it comes out from his gums, from his tongue, from some part of his mouth surface.
Mm-hmm. What about the cuts and wounds if they open while you're, you know?
So the blood actually comes from either
any limb, basically.
Okay.
I'm not talking about only the.
You're
the,
not
in the mouth.
Yeah, you are not swallowing it. You are a fasting person. The cuts and injuries or wounds or anything that comes from that is present on your body. Maybe it's on your hand or your legs or any other parts of your body. They are not. They do not affect your fast.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing to
but
worry about.
But if it is happening inside your mouth, then?
Yeah, then you shouldn't swallow the blood. And you
have to spit it out.
Yeah, you should throw it out, yes. And then the thing is that, yes, it is impure and you should not swallow it.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take an early break and then we'll come back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Just don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting. Well, Sheikh Javed, some people are kind of addicted to different things, like cigarettes or even narcotics, and some individuals use NOS,
yes,
right, which is made of tobacco and other constituents, and they put it on their tongues for a few minutes and then they even spit it out. But does this ingredient actually, or entity, NOS, I mean, does it void the fast?
Well, the rules which apply to this tobacco-made ingredient, the rules which apply to it is very much the same as the rule which applies to smoking. And we did discuss it in the previous episode, in one of the previous episodes actually, that smoking is not permissible as an obligatory precaution because it affects your fast. The same rule applies to NAS. It's not permissible as an obligatory precaution for people to use or to use, of course, NAS or whatever actually tobacco products, you know. The same rule applies to the drugs which are absorbed through the nose or through the tongue, placed under the tongue, or maybe it's a kind of snuff used, whatever. Things made from tobacco products should not be used as an obligatory precaution.
But they don't actually take in, like they don't swallow it, right?
Yeah.
So even if they don't swallow, but it invalidates.
Yeah, it invalidates as an obligatory precaution. There is no fatwa here.
Shechavit, as a quick question here, till the end of the question program, we don't have much time. You know, asthma patients use a kind of spray which is called inhalers.
Yes,
right.
Sure.
And in that spray, there's a vapor-borne powder which enters the patient's lungs. Those people who are suffering from asthma, right?
Yes.
So that through their mouth, they have to actually inhale.
Yes,
into their mouth, providing them relief, basically. So that they could breathe.
Yes.
At times, asthma patients need to use it several times a day. Is it permissible for them to fast while using such a spray?
Yeah. This is spray which is used by people who, you know, have problem with their respiratory system, and they use it to have a kind of to alleviate their problem. In fact, is allowed to use, and it does not invalidate the fast. And of course, it's just as you said, it is a vapor-borne powder which simply alleviates breathing problem, and it is not an invalidating agent.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. And thank you, my dear listeners, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio with me, Mama Jawad. And on behalf of the rest of the crew, we bid you farewell, and we ask you urgently to keep us in your du'as in this blessed month. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh Allah, please unite us and guide us to paradise. Oh, and guide us to paradise. Ramadan is here. Allah's mercy is near. Time to give, time to share, time to show.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 31 meters, 9650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to RIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
On the 173rd day of the U.S.-Israeli genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, the Palestinian death toll approaches 32,500.